As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hour number two of B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. Reminder, we're giving away Caps Game 2 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20 p.m. Your next chance to win coming up in about 17 minutes at 11:20. B. Mitch, we got some good news for the Wizards, assuming they can win the NBA draft lottery coming up next month. Cooper Flagg has officially declared for the NBA draft. I don't think there's much of a shocker there, though.
No. When he got hurt, and before it was the ACC championship and all that, when he got hurt, his mind was made up then. Because I know a lot of people talk about how much money people make in college. It is not the money that they're making in the pros. Cooper Flagg might have made $2-3 million last year in college. But if he make it to the NBA, he get drafted first round, he's going to make not seven, eight figures, okay? He'll make eight figures, and he will get a massive, and he'll get massive endorsement things and all that. He'll make way more.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's one of those.
And I don't think any of these athletes that are playing in college right now, they grew up hoping to play in college. They want to go to the next level. They want to be tested against the best of the best. They want to travel the world and the country every week doing that. That's their job. That's what they want to do. So he's not making what the hell he made. Caitlin Clark was making more money than we thought. She gonna make more money. She made more money in college than she was as pro because the pros wasn't paying them. Hell, all the endorsements she got, she probably making way more than she made in college. You know?
Yeah.
So you gotta understand, man, it ain't the same, especially men's basketball. It's not the same.
So if you look at On3 is a site that kind of tracks college sports. They're giving an NIL valuation. The guy that kind of opened my eyes to this a little bit more and not that I didn't understand this before, but it was refreshing to hear this sort of evaluation of the way that you're going to go about things, is Jaden Daniels. There was a documentary on, I think, Prime, where they were following around some of these athletes from LSU, him, Livy Dunn.
They had a lot of people make money.
They
over
do.
There.
And basically, you had some of these athletes that were full on in it, right? They're going doing all this NIL stuff. And Jaden said, I ain't worried about it. If I got extra time, whatever, maybe, but I'm going to make my money in the league. To his point, he was valued at $2.2 million, and last year in the NFL, he made $25. Right?
Case closed.
Somewhere around there.
Case closed.
Like, I don't know. I don't know that I'm that worried about that. Look at Cooper Flagg.
But his
NIL valuation is $4.8 million. Next year, if he's the number one overall pick, which he will be, 13.8.
Yeah.
I think it'd be okay.
Like, I just say this to people. Like, a lot of people want to judge those guys who are some of the best athletes in the world, who want to compete against the best athletes in the world based off of what they think. See, they just look at the money. Oh, he making that. Well, that money compared to what you're making, yes, it's a lot. Compared to what they can make, it's nothing. Okay? So when they see the chance to step to the next level, like, think about back then with MJ. When MJ decided to go with Nike instead of Converse, did he ever imagine the money he's making at this point right
now?
No
chance.
And if you stay one more year at that damn college, or two more years at that college, and you get hurt, you don't make it to the next level, you think the college is going to support you the rest of the year? Yeah, they might give you a little job as an ambassador. It won't be paying you all those millions that you can get.
Yeah, I mean, if you just think about it in your own life, I don't know of a great example, but would you play the risk of playing another year in college? Yes, you're going to make some money. There's no doubt about it. You're still going to make $4 or $5 million, man, if you're Cooper Flagg, but you also risk the potential of a devastating injury where, yeah, you just left so much money on the table as an NBA draft pick.
Hey, man, listen. If you have the ability to go out to the next level and make it, you should go ahead and try to make it. Like, the thing that I get pissed at, football and basketball are limited. Why? There's some reason that you limit football and baseball players come out of high school. You know, they can sign these deals and go to college for a year or two, but they already got a little deal.
Mm-hmm.
Football and basketball, that doesn't work for. Tennis players could be 14 if they're good enough and go do it. If you're track, you can go run. You know, hockey, you can go no matter what age you are. But football and basketball, you got to go to college first. And you can't tell me that they don't make it do it, because those are the biggest generating sports in this country, especially for the universities. So the universities are saying, hey, we're getting something out of you before you go. And you really think those companies that are paying these players this amount of money and these collectives and all that, you think the college not getting their share? It's very much like on this radio, okay? We come in with talent. But if we read, we go get what the company gives us. But they got way more than we got.
Yeah, I mean,
promise you that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a business after all, and it's one of those things that I think this is why for the longest time it was a big rip-off for the athletes, and now in turn you've seen it swing a little bit in the athletes' favor, but they're still not making the majority of the money.
It's swinging in the athletes' favor.
More than it was
before.
But
as soon as the athletes started getting money, now they're trying to say, we got to make it equal for everybody. Everybody not equal. So if an athlete if Cooper Flagg goes to the NBA, which he is, he don't have to worry about what the other people making, because that company gonna make sure he's top dog. But in college, they're trying to make it to where we got to make sure everybody stay close to each other. Everybody's not close to each other.
Yeah, and I mean, even B-Mitch, even at like the highest level, these guys, the best college basketball players, best college football players, you're not making what you're making at the top level if you're a number one, no, number two, number three draft pick. You're just not. It's never going to get to that level, in my opinion. And when you think about, you know, maybe some of
people
these
people don't
dudes,
take pay cuts to go to the pros like they used to do back in the
no.
day.
I mean,
you know, back in the day when they had the think of it now, because it's legal, everybody think everything is totally above board. I refuse to believe that. I came up in the Wild Wild West, baby. I saw it happening when SMU and all these teams were doing things, and I come right behind it. It's still what you see today is half of what's going on, more than likely.
So his valuation is $4.8 million, according to On3. In order for him not to make $4.8 million in the NBA in his first season, he would have to get drafted 15th. Because 14th is 4.9, 15th is 4.6. Exactly.
So, you know,
so I think there's a discussion to be had for players that are in the later half of the first round that are potential guys in the second
round.
But
those players that are projected to go in the later half of the first round are not valuated at 4.8.
Correct.
They're probably valuated at 800,000, maybe 700,000. Some of them might be up to a million. So those guys are still going to make more money at the next level.
Let's see what they have Derek Queen's NIL valuation at, because he's someone that could maybe end up right around that lottery. So to your point, On3, the same place that I just got this one, has his at 863,000. So
he going to make more than that.
Again, he's going to make more
if
than the NBA.
He's a first-round pick, he's making more than that.
Yeah, and he'd be a first-round pick. He's not a second-round pick.
And what comes with a first-round pick? Endorsements. Say, and that endorsement is not necessarily what your school is endorsing. See, a lot of these kids have shoes, but they at the school. In the school, you wear what?
Yeah, whatever. You wear what the
you wear
school
clothes
wears.
School, yeah, yeah. So you can't wear the shoes that you can get an endorsement by. So it's all more money at the next level. Now, you people that just fall in love with your college and want the kid to just stay there and sell his life to the college, y'all fools. That man got to go out there and take care of what he can for himself and his family more than anything.
Reminder, we got Caps tickets coming up at 11:20. Want to take a look at some NFL news. A couple of minutes ago, around 10:30, the Eagles and Pro Bowl center Cam Jurgens agreed to an extension, 4 years, $68 million, $39.4 million guaranteed.
Question. The top center in college right now, you think he's going to make 4 years, $68 million, $34 million? That's 16 a year? You think they're making $16 million over?
No.
Okay, then.
No.
Cam Jurgens, smart man.
Yeah, and I think with one thing the Eagles do a really good job of is
take care of them early.
They invest heavily in their offensive line and defensive line, and then they take care of their guys that they view as the staple guys, right? Like Milton Williams, they were able to develop. I think they looked at the valuation of what he was going to get in the free market and just didn't feel like they were going to be able to put that together, especially looking at Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
But a guy like a Cam Jurgens, think about how they've kept Kelsey all those years. Think about how they've kept Lane Johnson. Think about how they've kept, Mailata now. And these guys, they always have a solid O-line. They always take care of their
continuity
dudes up front.
Helps. And if you could keep the same people blocking for a long time, you're going to have a lot of success.
Well, and especially at the offensive line position, right?
Damn
like continuity
straight.
And being able to have chemistry is huge on an offense. Mm-hmm. But especially on that O-line, when you're understanding who you're picking up. Because one thing about the offensive line, more so than any other position group on the field, is you can take a bunch of C-level talent, make them play like A's because they all play together.
Yeah.
Versus you can take a bunch of A-level talent, they all play like C's because nobody's picking up the right guy.
There you go.
Right? So having a continuity at that position is massive.
Continuity and a good coach.
Yeah. And they have both
of those.
Make sure
you come up with the best blocking scheme and those guys work together, because you go back and think about 91, Jeff wasn't the first round pick. Jacoby mm-hmm. wasn't the first round pick. But they block like it. Ray Brown was drafted as a tight end. Ended up being offensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, right up there probably his most important position coach is offensive line coach.
There
right?
you go.
Being
yeah.
able to make sure those guys all coordinated together. A couple of tweets today from Adam Schefter, reports today from Adam Schefter. Curious to get your thoughts on. The Saints are already making calls about trading up in the second round. And then also the Broncos have made some inquiries about trading up in the first round of the draft. How much action do you think there's going to be in terms of trades on draft night?
I think it's going to be something. Like, normally these trades go up for quarterbacks at the beginning of the first round, but this draft may not be sexy when it comes down to top level quarterbacks, things of that nature. But there are a lot of edge rushers and defensive linemen and running backs and cornerbacks that somebody may want to get later on in that first round. And then what happens is, what people don't understand, if a guy has a first-round grade and you can – yeah, you got the 32nd pick. I mean, 33rd pick, which is beginning of the second round. You get him for 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get him for five at that moment. That first-round pick you get for 5 years. So if you move up a little bit and grab him, you got control of him for a longer time. And teams think like that too. And if I have a grade on a guy in a draft and he's at – I got the 30th pick – 30. Let's say somebody else have the 30th pick. I have the 33rd pick. What does that trouble me to move up three picks to get him if I want to get him?
I mean, to your point, the Panthers made this trade last year. They went from 33 to 32 to pick Xavier Leggett. They moved up one spot so they could get that fifth year.
Yeah.
So they gave up 33 and then a fifth-round pick to get 32 and 200 overall, which is probably like a seventh.
It works, man. So right now, the teams, there will be teams calling. And listen. Adam and crew will be listening, but if somebody drops to them that they saw was up way further, you think they're not going to keep them for themselves?
Well, and so many people are focusing on, for Washington, they're focusing on trading out of 29. I think you can get similar, maybe not the exact same value, but you could do something like that at 61 if you're sitting there and you got a guy you like at 29. You just take and pick, mm-hmm. and then you say, well, we still need to recoup picks. Do that in the second round then.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it's not just that one pick that you can get, but you're at a position, and I stated this a few weeks ago, they position themselves to where they don't have to do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I can wait, and somebody may fall here that I get a better value for. Could be somebody I thought we could have gotten up, but they get a run on another position, and he may drop down. Boom, we got him. But if what if the people I'm looking for are gone, but other people want this spot, now I can get some more. So I don't think that Washington is in any position where they have to jump just because.
Yeah, I mean, I think their biggest position of need right now would be edge rusher, but it's not, I guess need is a strong word. I don't know that it's a need, right? Like, it's something that you want to upgrade. I think, you know, Linnell and I were talking about this on Friday. Like, I want to see them leave the draft with an edge rusher. Doesn't have to be 29, doesn't have to be at 61, but I want someone so that regardless of who's starting week one alongside Dorrance Armstrong, you have someone you can kind of develop into that role. And I think Jean-Baptiste fits in there as well, but I want someone with some pedigree, but they're not stuck where they have to do any one thing. And so I think where it's going to be intriguing, if you're Washington watching this on Thursday, is what happens with the quarterback position. Because to your point, that's usually where the trades happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're seeing Cam Ward goes number one overall, that's kind of a foregone conclusion. Shador, where does he go? Does he slide? Jackson Dart was invited to the first round of the draft. Now apparently he's not going. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that he's not going to go in the first round? Not necessarily. Jalen Milroe has been invited. Milroe, I don't know if he's still going.
What's the other guy? Starts with an S, I think.
Tyler Shuck.
Shuck.
From Louisville. Like, does someone get enamored with one of these guys, and you're sitting there at 29, and that's a prime position to get a quarterback? Because remember a couple of years ago with the Ravens, I mean, this is a while ago, but they traded back up to pick 32. Yeah. Ozzie Newsome's last draft pick, I think first-round pick, worked out quite well with Lamar Jackson.
Think about this. You found Lamar at 32. Many people don't think that there is a GM out there right now thinking that I could get me a Lamar or that level of a quarterback anywhere from 29 to 32. They don't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be. You. When you're a bad team, you get great chances to pick somebody in the top 10. But when you're a legitimate team and okay, you have to find those people somewhere else. The thing about the Ravens didn't pick high a lot. They picked late in the first round, late in the second round, but they were able to maneuver and come back and get that dude.
Yeah.
There's another GM out there who thinks he can do something very similar.
Well, and if I'm Washington, if I'm Adam Peters, I've already done the groundwork so that everyone knows 29 is available if you want it. I'm not necessarily calling around now saying, hey, man, you want 29? Please take it.
But if
someone comes calling because, hey, I want to come up and get Tyler Shuck. I want to come up and get Jalen Miller. I want to come up and get Jackson Dart. Let's talk. I'm more willing to do that. So if I'm sure he's already laid the groundwork like, hey, this is going to be available. If you want a quarterback, you want a receiver, whatever it may be, as long as it's not our guy that we just feel like we have to take, we're willing to do it, but we're also willing to stick and pick as well.
I think like this. When you watch those trades happening on draft day, do you ever sit back and think like I do? I'm like, that's too much stuff to be going on in that quick of a thing for them to have just done that.
Oh, yeah.
They've been talking about that crap for some days now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're on the clock. You got 7.5 minutes. Whatever the minutes are, 5 minutes. And you going to tell me you just came up with a four-player trade. You got all the stuff going along with it, and that happened in those 7.5 minutes? Hell no. You've been talking about that before. So, listen, whatever goes down, they have the groundwork already for it. It's written. They can figure it out.
Yeah, they got a framework already ready to roll with.
Totally.
They'll figure it out, all the details, a little bit later on. Right now, be caller number 9 to 800-636-1067 to win a pair of tickets to Game 2 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals on Wednesday, April 23rd versus Montreal at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. We'll listen to Jaden Daniels with John Gruden next here on The Fan.